If you have your Bible, it's somewhere around the middle. Just about the middle of the Bible is where you'll find the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. We need face painting supplies, craft table goodies, a jumping castle. Well, I guess that's something we have to rent. Clown and balloon animals. Glory to God. I guess you have to make the balloon animals. If you have any hanging around the house, you can bring them. You know. Psalms 139. Can you see that, or do I have to turn some lights off? I guess I get a mixed reaction here. Some people say, leave the lights on, turn the lights off. Hallelujah. Is that a little better? Hallelujah. We got to get a more powerful overhead. Psalms 139. I want to make an announcement here before we go any further. Last week we were standing here, and a gentleman walked in off the street and talked to us and told us about his life, and I invited him to share his testimony from the pulpit. And some well-meaning and good-loving people contacted me during the week. So they Googled his name and found some bad things. Well, I went through and did the same thing, and I found a mixture of good things. I found a mixture of bad things. And all I can say, the man who wrote the bad article says, well, he's an ex-con. I know that. He told me that when he walked in the door. So, but do you know what he did? No. Let me tell you something. I have been in the prison ministry for 20 years. I have never, ever asked a man or a woman what they did. And do you know why? I may judge them based on what they tell me. I don't want to know what they did. Amen? Some people say, he's a con. I thought about that one. I said, you know what? If he's a con, he's a pretty stupid one. The man is walking around the country. He's on his fourth way around the country. I seen him Monday morning. He was still walking. Now, if I'd seen him and he was in a fancy car or a limousine, I'd say, okay, we got conned. But we gave him a few bucks. We gave him a night in a hotel. And you know what? Whatever his life is before God is up to him. But I believe God sent him to us. Amen? I believe he was a man that we needed to bless, and we did. I will say that the man who wrote the negative article really needs to check his heart. Because the things I read and the things he said, the suppositions, the innuendos, was really quite ungodly. Now, whether or not James Bowman is a real man of God or not, that's up to God to know. But the man who wrote that article, well, we don't know what he does in his spare time. Well, you know what, you old backslider? I don't know what you do in your spare time either. I mean, it just amazes me.
Well, we don't really know. He's an ex-con. I'm going to tell you something. We're all an ex-something.
Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Our title today is, why is this truth so important? You know, there's a lot of truths we can deal with, but the truth I want to deal with today is that we are created. We are dealing in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and chapter 2. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we were made by God. We were thought of, worked out in his hands. He breathed into our nostrils. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I could preach on the wonderfully for all the rest of the day. I want you to think about the human body. I want you to think about its complexities. I want you to think about the stuff that our body does. I remember years ago reading a book when I first started studying psychology. And it was written by some Christian folk. And at the very end, and it was just perfect, because as I read it, my mind's going, whoa. It's amazing what the brain can do. It's amazing. And at the very end, this Christian man says, if you're a believer, you're probably thinking right now, what a wonderful God we serve. And all I can say is, amen. This thing that we call a body that we abuse and misuse and don't take care of is such a complex thing. Forgive me if I make fun of those who think we climbed out of a slime pit. Forgive me if you think I make a little fun if you think we fell out of a tree from a monkey. I just may make a little bit of fun of that. There's another Bible out there, another translation people read. I don't read it much, but I read this in it the other night, and I kind of liked it. It's called the Message. It's controversial in some parts, but I really like this. It says, oh, yes, you shape me first inside and then out. This is the same scripture I just read out of King James. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life are all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Hallelujah. You know, I've always amazed, never ceased to be amazed at the lengths that some people will go to avoid accepting a simple truth. I want you to think about that. I recently saw a story on TV. Under the countries of France and Switzerland is probably or possibly the largest machine ever built. They were just testing it out the other day. The machine was built at a cost of multiple billions, that's billions with a B, multiple billions for the express purpose of racing two bits of matter, I think they said that they were protons, towards each other and smashing together at ultra-high speed. Now, the reason for this expenditure? To reproduce the conditions that were present leading up to and during the Big Bang. Forgive me if I make some foolish remarks here. I've got two questions about the Big Bang. We recently, I can't say celebrate, there was no celebrate. We recently remembered the attack on our country of 9/11/01. I remember standing in my, I was actually brushing my teeth. And the phone rang and Brother Lucius was on the phone early that morning. He said, Brother George, you better turn on the TV, something's wrong. And I turned it on just in time to watch plane number two hit building number two. And I stood there in awe and unbelief as I watched people jump off those buildings to their death. And in a few short moments, I watched them crash to the ground. I want to tell you something. That was an explosion that did not create life. That was an explosion that did not create order. That was a destructive force, as all explosions are. Hallelujah. For the older crowd, how about places like Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Have you seen the picture? I'm a little too young to remember that. My daddy was in that war. I came along a few years later. But I've seen the pictures. And I got to tell you, after that explosion, there was no life formed. There was no order. There was destruction. People talk about big bangs and explosions. And forgive me if I sound ignorant here, but every explosion I've ever seen, witnessed, or read about is called destruction, not creation. And the second thing. This to me is, this doesn't even pass the giggle test. This doesn't even pass the duh test. If you're going to recreate the moment when those two particles collided, please answer me, where did those two particles come from? Now, I don't have time to get into a whole bunch of apologetics and talk about these different things. All I want to say today is that people are spending a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of intellect to avoid accepting a simple truth, that in the beginning, God. I got a response from one. In the beginning, God, we spend billions of dollars, hundreds of years, uncountable man hours, wasted to try to refute a basic simple truth that God did all of this. Hallelujah to God. Not very long ago, another scientific feat was in the headlines. Again, at the cost of hundreds of billions, with a B, an exploratory vehicle was landed on the planet Mars. I am not against space exploration. I'm not one of these closed-minded people who say, oh, we can't do that. God will get mad. But the reason for this ridiculous expenditure was to search for the origin of life. Now, they weren't looking for life in other places. Now, dear, bear with me here. That thought may have merit. I don't know. I don't know if there's life in other places. I'm more concerned about getting the planet Earth through this thing. But they were looking for the origins. Where did it begin? Billions and billions of dollars. Listen, our friends in the scientific community have spent most of their entire lives and millions of billions of our tax money, dollars of our tax money, to find answers to questions that are answered in the first two books of the Bible. Now, I've had people say, Pastor, you know, you're a little bit closed-minded here. Well, let me just quote a man and say, I can afford to be closed-minded. I'm right. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be funny. But, you know, perhaps we need to ask a question. With all the real problems we face as a race, why are we spending so much time, energy, and money to ignore a truth we already have? It never ceases to me. It boggles my mind the lengths we go to ignore the obvious truth. Hallelujah. We're searching for a truth that's already been given to us, and I don't know why. I wonder if maybe we're so arrogant, that we think we're too smart to believe this truth that God recorded for us in His Bible. I've had people talk to me about,
well, you don't believe that stuff, do you?
I used to get real defensive about that. Now I get smart. Smart aleck.
You don't believe that, do you? Oh, yeah, you don't?
I turn it back to them. Don't treat me like I'm a dummy because I believe that God created it. I'm going to ask you, what's wrong with you that you don't? And I don't have to spend billions of dollars and years in scientific research to come back to the truth that God did all of this. Hallelujah. I wonder why this particular truth is so troublesome to people. I really wonder today, as people say, is the Bible really just an antiquated piece of literature? Is it a book that's too old, should be thrown away, and we read all the science books? Let me tell you young folks something. Indy and Chad, the science book, and you, Tyler, I see you over there. You can't hide. This is a small church. I'll come find you. Hallelujah. The science books that you're reading this year will be antiquated by the end of the school year. Hello? If you started right now and wanted to write a science book, by the time you got it written, edited, and printed, it'd be outdated and you have to start over again. All this information keeps changing. First is this, first is that. Then it's the other thing. It's a big bang. It's hot gas. I got a book that has not changed in thousands of years, and it starts the same way in whatever translation you want to read. In the beginning, God. And people have spent millions and billions of dollars and hours to try to refute that instead of simply accepting it. Maybe the Bible is an antiquated piece of literature. Hallelujah. Or maybe it contains the truths that man spends so much time and resources to attain. See, it's one or the other. We either got to throw it away or believe it. Yeah. Some folks don't like it too much when I get down and say, okay, it's black or white here. It's time to choose. You know.
Well, I can believe a little bit of that.
You know, did you ever hear the expression about being a little bit pregnant? You either is or you ain't. It's one or the other. I don't mean to be rude and crude here, but the bottom line is, it's either the truth or it's not the truth. I wonder why so many really smart, and I say this with all due respect to the scientific community, they are not dummies, they are not ignorant. Very smart, educated. Why do these people refuse to accept the truth that in the beginning, God? Hallelujah. I wonder what it is, Sister Sharon, about this truth. I wonder what it is that inspires men and women to risk making complete fools of themselves by continually searching for an alternative truth that's really not truth at all. That was a word full. Did you understand? I had a hard time reading it. I don't know if you had time, hard time hearing it or not. Let me try it again. Y'all see me when I get this stuff. I'm just typing away on my laptop. Yeah, yeah. Then the laptop gets mad. Oh, come on. What is it about this truth? The truth I'm talking about, that in the beginning God, what is it about this truth that inspires men and women to risk making complete fools of themselves by continuing to search for alternative truth that's really not truth at all? Hallelujah. I wonder what it is that makes educated people decide to live in a world of theory and reject infallible truth. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, the word theory, I double dog dare you to look up the word. Now, you may have to use an older dictionary. I haven't looked it up in a more modern, but the one I got has been the same for many years. The word theory means your best guess. It means to take a guess. So my generation, hallelujah, we were taught theory. We were taught specifically the theory of evolution. But problem was, my generation and every generation after that was taught as if it was a scientific fact. You and I were taught, and our children are being taught, the guess of evolution. And they come home as if it's a given fact, written in stone someplace. Hallelujah. One thing I was not taught, the meaning of the word theory. Glory unto God. Let me tell you something, folks. Theory is not a fact. It's a guess. It's a guess that's been conjured up to offer an alternative to the simple truth that God created the heavens and the earth. And when he was done preparing the earth for his finest creation, he created mankind. I talked about creation last week. I want to talk about man today. You know, we sometimes look around at the way things are going and say, well, you know, man was created to take care of the earth. That's not even close. Man was put here to take care of it, but the earth was created for man, not man for the earth. I do believe, now please, I'm not the greatest green character in the world, but I do believe in some forms of ecology. Now, we switched over to energy-saving lights, and we both drive small cars to get good gas mileage. I think we need to do stuff like that. But no matter what I do, my job is not to save planet Earth. I should be a good steward. You guys, I know all the schools are being taught this. I see it all the time. Be a good steward. Recycle. That's all good. Hallelujah. But the earth is not the most important thing. The inhabitants of the earth are. God made the earth for us. Science refuses to accept there's something or someone who's greater and smarter than man. My. There's something about this truth. There's something about the fact that God is. There's something about the fact that God made, that God created. It's something about it that actually causes fear and denial in the hearts of so many people. It amazes me. You know, if God is just a lie and religion is just a crutch for the weak, why are so many people afraid of it? I've been thinking about this for a long time, DT. It just amazes me that if it's such a lie, such a foolish thing, why does it strike fear in the hearts of so many people? Nations have forbidden it, armies have fought against it, and scientists do their best to disprove it. Why? If it's just a made-up story, if it's just a fictional thing, why are so many people fighting against it? When Brother Charlie and I first started going into Bulgaria, they weren't that far from away from their communist roots. And communism, one of the tenets of communism is that God cannot coexist with communism. If there's communism, God can't exist. So God, the church, or the believers, they were crushed. They're in some places still are terribly abused. If it's just a lie, if it's just a foolishness, why fight against it? Hallelujah to God. Why do they try to disprove it? Now, I got to tell you something here. I understand and will fully admit the Bible is not a book of history. It is not a history book. Some people look at the Bible and it's not necessarily written in chronological order. I love people argue between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Oh, there's a difference. Smarten up. Chapter 1 is the fact. Chapter 2 is the commentary. Oh, there's two creations. No. People say, well, there's conflicts in the Bible. Have you read any other journals or books? Oh, never mind. The harder we try to disprove the accuracy, the historical accuracy of the Bible, the more accurate we realize it is. The more the architects dig, the more biblical cities they find. For years, people said, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah is just a fictitious thing. It doesn't exist. Guess what? They dug a little deeper. They found the cities. Hallelujah. God said to one city, he says, we'll scrape the dust from your streets. You'll never grow again. And sure enough, during the days of Alexander the Great, they took the dust off the streets and has never grown back. Never been. The city of Tyre. People say, oh, that can't be. Well, hallelujah. Would you rather believe that or a Big Bang? Everything from diet to astronomy keeps being proved more and more accurate in the Bible. The Bible actually talks in the book of Job. I won't get into this too much. One of my favorite subjects. I could rattle on all day long. In the book of Job actually talks about there are two stars, I believe it is, going in, and two bodies going in the opposite direction from the rest of the universe. I want you to think about that for a second, okay? We were taught that the universe is all going in the same direction. It's going millions and billions of miles an hour. There are two of them little rogues out there going the other way. That's like getting on Interstate 84 at rush hour at 80 miles an hour and driving into traffic. Have you noticed we have not had a collision? God told us about it in the book of Job, said they're out there. Now, if we're living in the aftermath of a big bang where everything's going in a concentric circle in the same direction. Apparently no one told those two stars they're going the wrong way. And someone is keeping them from crashing, or something keeping them from crashing into one another. You say, well, it's just luck. You can't get through Honesdale with that kind of luck, much less the universe. Glory unto God. Why can't we agree? I'll tell you why, what I think. Because truth is a choice. See, you got to choose to believe truth, or you choose not to believe truth. It doesn't make it true or false. It's always true, even if you deny it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to ask a foolish question. If anybody here remembers the 60s and 70s, because if you remember them, you probably weren't there. But there were certain... there were certain substances, which I don't know what they call them again. There were certain things we would take that so altered our consciousness. I had, past tense, friends who, under the influence of that stuff, decided that gravity didn't exist. Well, the only problem with that, Dave, is they walked out a window on the third floor. Gravity was very much there, met them there, and took them to the ground quickly. It didn't matter if they didn't believe in it. It was still there. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God. He's still there. It doesn't matter if you believe he created. He still did. It doesn't matter if you believe he still heals, because he still will. God has not changed. His truth has not changed. Hallelujah. A lot of folks. I want to hide that one for a second. A lot of folks. I got to lead up to that one. I do understand, historically, the church has done some pretty dumb things. Considered science, you know, the church really went out against Christopher Columbus. They thought he was sacrilegious and everything else, because the church believed the world was flat. That didn't come from science. That came from the church. And many times over the years, the church has been guilty of being dumb. I could have said ignorant, but dumb sounded better. Hallelujah. And we stood against science. Now, science, look at us and say, well, see, the church is trying to hold back science. I am not trying to hold back science. I'm not afraid of it. Bring it on. Because the more the science tries to disprove the truth, the more my Bible rings true. The more they try to tell me it didn't happen, we find proof that it did. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of science. Bring it on. Recently, real recently, I had a conversation with a very educated person, a learned person. And this person's brother had chosen an alternate lifestyle, and that's all I'm going to say about that. This person had convinced herself that his situation was a biological one. I'm very respectful, and I did not laugh. But I just stood there, and she asked me what I thought. That was her first mistake. You got to understand, if you ask me what I think, I will tell you. Amen? I told her that that lifestyle was a choice. But then she asked me a good question. She says, why would anyone choose such a thing? My answer kind of ended the conversation abruptly. I simply told her that he made a choice because someone told him he could. Listen, folks. 2 days earlier, that woman was singing my praise of how smart and how compassionate I was. After that conversation, she's not so sure no more. You know, people say they want truth until the truth becomes inconvenient. When it comes to sin, to restrictions, when it comes to setting absolutes, truth is not acceptable anymore. You know, when it becomes personal about ourselves, our families, we look for a theory to ease our guilt and to shed our responsibility. The truth of creation, you may have noticed, has really entered into the political arena this year. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say who to vote for or what. I don't even know who I'm going to vote for yet. Hallelujah. But I actually heard the other day on television. If it's on TV, you know you got to believe it, right? Oh, okay. Just checking. I heard a representative of some liberal organization complaining. There was a lady. She said, "How dare we consider a vice presidential candidate who openly admits that she believes in creationism and is pro-life? How come this one truth makes people so crazy mad? Why is it upsets people so bad? It causes such division." Let me offer you something. If you choose to believe this truth, that the world, the universe, and life were created, then the next thing you obviously have to accept the existence of a creator. That makes sense? If you were created, you're not just an accident of nature. You actually have a thing called worth. You are worth something. You are important. Your life counts for something. You may not have figured out what it is yet. But I'll guarantee you, everyone sitting in this room, everyone in the city, everyone in the state, country, nation, world, has worth. They are worth something. And someone say, amen, or, oh my. That means we're important. Well, I know that. Do we really? Do we really? If we're important, then we are responsible. Oh, you know I'd get there somehow. If you're important, you're responsible to treat ourselves and each other as a valuable creature. My life is worth something, and I need to take care of it. Your life is important and worth something. You need to take care of it. I need to help you when you need help. I need to see that you have your needs met as much as I possibly can, because you and I are important. Because I was created. I was made. I was made with a purpose and a plan. I didn't just happen. Someone say amen or oh my. Now, if we accept the lies, I'm sorry, the theory. Oops. If we accept the theory that we came out of a slimy mud puddle and have evolved over millions of years, and you know what? We have no real value. We have no more value than that tree outside. We have no more value than the grass. We have no value. We're not important. If what I am now is only a phase I'm passing through on my way to another higher form, then what I am now is unimportant and worthless. Hello. I love surfing the TV. My best form of entertainment, especially when I get on the Geographic Channel and the They got one now. I just love this. I laugh. I belly laugh when I look at this. They have this one now where they are inventing dinosaurs. Well, this is what may have roamed the earth 257 million years ago. I laugh at that. May have, could have been. They have no plan or idea about it. So let's make it up as we go along. Instead of realizing that God made us, we're valuable. If life is worthless, according to what I read a moment ago, then it doesn't matter if I terminate it before it's born. If my life has no worth, why should I care if I take good care of it or not? Why not just fill it full of drugs and alcohol and other such poisons? Why not join it to every person and all sorts of sexual encounters? See, when I look at morality of man, I believe that this truth is so important. Because if we make the judgment, the decision that we are a cosmic accident and I have no worth, why should I care about myself? I look at people today, when I say generation, folks, I'm not talking about young folk. I talk about a generation of today. I'm talking about those who are on the earth today, no matter what your age is. There's a generation here today that don't really seem to care what they do with themselves, don't seem to care what they do with their fellow man. We can do anything, long as it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, keep trying something else until we find something better. We have no sense of responsibility, no sense of absolute. Hallelujah to God. If I'm worthless, why will it matter if I mutilate or destroy myself? Well, so what if I kill myself? It's my life. It's not worth anything. Because after all, I came from millions of years of evolution, and I'm not really made in the image and likeness of God anyway. See, you know, when someone stands up and says this, you say, oh, my God. I'm either a raving lunatic, which I may be, or someone else has been lying to you. Here we go. We got to make a choice. Are we going to choose to believe that God made me or made you with a plan, made you in his image, made you important, or you just climb out of a slimy puddle someplace? I got to tell you something, folks. I know my family 4 or 5 generations back. There ain't a monkey there. Never mind. I can't say that anymore. I got an interesting family. Glory unto God. Glory unto God. I lost my place. That's okay. God knows where I was. As long as he tells me. There we go. We are not a mistake. We're not the result of a theory. We are here because God wanted us. You're here because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And each step of the way he declared, it is good. Now remember what I told you last week, the Hebrew for it is good is? As it should be. When God separated the earth from the waters, when God separated the light from the dark, all along the way he kept saying, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Then he got to the end. Made man. He looked down and said, oh, this is very good. This is ever so much as it should be. God did not make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake creating you. He didn't make a mistake creating your family. He did not make a mistake creating your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. Come on. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I didn't put this on the screen. Forgive me. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know, forgive me, Annie, and those who love animals. I like animals too, but they're not the same as me. God wanted dogs to let there be, and there was, and behold, it was good. God wanted horses to behold, let there be, and there was good. When it came time to make man, he didn't say nothing else. Bible said he reached down and grabbed a handful of red dust. The Bible, if you look at the word clay, it means red clay or red dust. It said he hand-formed it into the image and likeness of himself, and when he got all done, he leaned close and gave the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The difference between me and all of the creation, God's breath brought life to me, not just his word. We need both. Glory to God. My concern / fear is this. The generation, this age group, the people that now exist, have lost sight of their worth. You know, in my day job, we talk a lot about self-worth and all that. It's not just the kids. It's all of mankind. And I'm going to give you a little psychology. I'm going to say that now because people get mad. So you're preaching psychology. Right now, yes, I am. Self-worth does not come by telling someone how good they are. Self-worth comes by leading someone to do something they couldn't do before. When you succeed at something, you know what you're worth. Are you out there? Hallelujah. God leads me to succeed. God leads me in places I can't succeed, things I cannot do, and gives me the power to do them. We have rejected the truths of the Bible. We've accepted foolish guesses and outright lies of the world around us. I am no longer the result of a creator who loves me and gives me worth. I'm an accident. So it really doesn't matter what I do to myself or my fellow man. One more problem here. If you believe in a creator and a creation, then you got to also believe the truth found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Listen, we were created for God to live within us. We were created that God would live his life through us. The New Testament, the Apostle Paul says we are temples. We are buildings of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If we believe that we're created, if we believe we're special, we need to treat ourselves and our fellow men like the temples that we really are. But instead, we refuse to believe our worth, so we treat our bodies more like an amusement park. Look at your own lives. Are we treating ourselves and our fellow man like a temple? Or do we treat ourselves like amusement parks? Seeing how much thrill we can get out of it, how much we can do to it. Hallelujah. I got to end now. So, what do we do? What do? Well, we start by accepting the truth of the Bible. The truth is, God gave it to us. He gave us us. I'm going to read you that truth one more time. Hallelujah. Psalms 139. Oh, yes. I don't know who wrote the message. What's that? Eugene Peterson. I like the way he's, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's my generation. Oh, yeah. Your generation may say, I don't know, word up? I don't know. Word up, this is fresh. You shaped me first inside and then out. King James says, you formed me while I was yet in my mother's womb. You formed me in my mom's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Oh, hallelujah. That just makes me want to just go off and worship the Lord a little bit. God is breathtaking. God is awesome. God is not some old guy, stuffed shirt, wants to bore us and take our fun away. God is cool. Hallelujah. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I heard somebody say this a long time ago. I will stop believing creation and embrace evolution when man can build me a tree. I'm a tree. Not nearly as complex as me. Just build me a tree. Show me science how trees, and I might believe you. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. The King James Version says, you knit me together. It's a word that means knitted. Any of you ladies ever knit or crochet? Or some of you ladies do things with needles. I just don't get it. You start off with a piece of string and a couple of needles, and you end up with a sweater. I don't know how that happens. But that's what God's doing in the womb. He's putting it together. Little here, little there. Hallelujah to God. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. And listen to this. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Before you opened your eyes, before you came out the womb, before you were conceived, Book of Ephesians says that God had a plan. Before he laid the foundations of the world, you were planned. Before the foundation of the world were laid, God had a plan. And when the time was right, he reached down, took a handful of red clay, formed into his likeness, and breathed into it. You're here by design. You're here by plan. And if you don't hear anything else I've said today, listen to this. You are not an accident. You are important. So for God's sake, live like it. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. My heartfelt prayer today is that we would realize there are so certain truths that are so important that the world has to stand up and fight against them. This one truth, creation, has become such a battlefield. Political parties are talking about it. Theologians are talking about it. Everyone's fighting about it. I heard a silly politician say, the Bible doesn't tell me when life begins. Wrong. I just read it to you. You are an important handmade creation. No matter what you may think about your life or what's going on right now, you are important. No matter what you feel about yourself, you're important. God made you. You're worth it. Whatever you're going through, hang on, because you're worth it. You were made by God. Live like it. Live like it. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to understand. Help us to understand the importance of creation. Help us to understand how you made us. You chose us. You developed us. You brought us forth. Father, I pray today that no one will leave this room the same way they came in, but we will come out of here with a greater understanding of our worth, that we are important to you and to the world around us. We have things to do and people to help. God breathed into your lungs, folks. He made you what you are. Let's live like it. As you leave this place, I pray you'd go in peace. I pray you'd go in safety. I pray you go with knowledge. Can we stand to our feet? Father, I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity over God's people. Bring us to that place of inner knowledge that we know for sure what you have done. Let us know for sure who we are. Let us know for sure that we can change. We will change the world around us as we decide to live for you. In Jesus' name, go in peace. Spend this week thinking about how important you are. Think about how much God loves you and what he can accomplish in your life. In Jesus' name. Say hello to someone, shake a hand, hug a neck. Come back next week expecting.